time certain, 10:39.
Initiate foreclosure action on four properties for the collection of delinquent city liens.
Well, I'm very pleased to have this team coming forward because the good work is continuing. Four more houses here today moving towards foreclosure. We did five on June 15th, as you'll remember, and that means now we've processed the first nine houses in a very long time, since 1965. So I want to thank the Auditor's Office, the Bureau of Development Services, the Police Bureau, ONI, and the City Attorney's Office for their continued work with Chad Stover and Zach Glanowski in my office to get this work done and get this work underway. As I mentioned the other day in Council, I was back out at Lentz School for something completely unrelated to this, but of course there's a house right across the street from Lentz School that's been boarded up and toxic for the neighborhood that we visited when we launched this effort. And then right down at the corner of 97th and Holgate are two more. The effect on neighborhood livability that this long-standing problem has is huge. And I just want to appreciate this team and the work that you're doing. So please take it away and tell us about the houses that are before us this morning.
Good morning, Sarah Landis, City Auditor's Office. With me are Mike Liefeld, the Enforcement Program Manager from Bureau of Development Services, and Marco Maciel, who's the Foreclosure Program Manager in the Auditor's Office. We intend this presentation to be fairly short. Mike and Marco are here as technical experts if you have any questions, but I'll just run right through the presentation. Before I go into each of the individual properties, I'd like to take just a moment to discuss the effect of the city's renewed focus on foreclosure. We can say clearly that the increased pressure being applied to these properties has had positive results. The first set of properties was voted on by council in June. Of those five properties, two have been sold and all liens were paid off as of this week. And the other properties have had inquiries, such as requests for payoff amounts, that indicate movement on the property. The next set of properties that we received from Development Services had seven accounts. Of these, three have already been removed due to payoff or, in one case, demolition of the house. These are all very positive developments, especially in those cases where the property has been sold. The other thing I'd like to mention briefly before we go into each property is that the process for this list has been slightly different than it was for the first list that we brought to council, and that we did not convene the Collections Committee this time. The Collections Committee's sole purpose is to review and then approve, reject, or amend any recommendations for adjustment on lien amounts that the Auditor's Office makes. Because we did not make any recommendations for adjustments this time, we did not convene the committee. As we move forward with future foreclosures, we will convene the committee if there are properties under consideration that meet the criteria for possible lien adjustments. So the second foreclosure list contains four properties that our office is recommending for foreclosure. Each of the properties is vacant and abandoned and has been a drain on city resources across multiple bureaus. Together, they have delinquent liens totaling over $200,000, and each represents an opportunity to make progress toward improving livability, health, and safety. As you can see on the map, there are two in outer southeast Portland, one in north Portland, and one in northeast Portland. The first property is on 134th and Southeast Herald Street. It has four liens. The dates of delinquency range from August 2014 to March of this year. The total amount owed on the liens is $31,385. And the ownership is Shay Lynn on record as the legal record with Multnomah County at the time of the list preparation. That is sometimes a moving target. This particular property has 28 violations, including fire, life safety, and health sanitation violations. It has been an illegally occupied structure without water, electrical, or sewer or garbage service. It has a vacate order granted by the city hearings officer, and there have been 71 calls for police service in the last 2 years. The property is currently boarded and secure. The next property is on Southeast 91st Avenue. It has eight liens. The delinquencies range back to 2013 through June of last year. Total amount owed is $58,448. Ownership is B. Sangsita as on record as the legal owner at the time of the list preparation. However, when we did a recent drive-by, there was a posting for a trustee's notice of sale on the door. Mike let me know this morning that a year ago he had a conversation with the bank who said they were going to be moving forward with the sale of the property, but that was a year ago and nothing has happened. This property is directly across the street from Kelly Elementary School. There are 11 violations, including fire, life safety, and health sanitation violations. The property has been used by tenants and then by squatters without water, garbage, and electrical service. There was a fire at the property that caused a breach in the board up, and it was again occupied by squatters after that point. There's been heavy transient activity, and the city security board ups have repeatedly been breached. There is a vacate order granted by the hearings officer in 2013, and there have been 18 police calls for service. The next property has four liens. It is located on North Calhoun Avenue, very near Roosevelt High School. The dates of delinquency are from 2013 through May of this year. The total amount owed is $38,980, and the ownership of this property is Norman Yee on record with Multnomah County. There have been 10 violations cited, including health sanitation. And there was a collapsing roof and chimney citation. Ultimately, that chimney failed and collapsed. Two nuisances have been abated by the city during this time. The property has been unoccupied for over 15 years, and the structure is currently barely visible through the vegetation, and it was recently cited as a derelict structure. The final property is on Northeast 22nd Avenue and approximately going. It has seven liens. The dates of delinquency range from 2009 through this year. Total amount owed is $75,850. And Norman Yee is on record as the legal owner with Multnomah County. This property has 18 violations, including fire, life safety. There have been 14 neighbor complaints, including complaints about the adverse impacts this property is causing, including rodents, human waste, and garbage. We've heard, Development Services has heard that from neighbors that this is a popular place for last Thursday goers to relieve themselves. Their detached roof garage is in a state of failure. The property is almost completely engulfed in vegetation, and there have been four nuisance abatements by the city. So the next step for these properties is for council to vote on whether to foreclose. After that, the auditor's office will transfer responsibility to the treasurer for the conduct of the foreclosure sale. Until the foreclosure sale, the property owner can pay the amount owed and remove the property from the foreclosure list. And after the sale is conducted, the current owner has a one-year redemption period, and I think you heard about some of that last week when the city treasurer was here to talk to you about some code changes. So that is the extent of our presentation, and we're happy to take questions if you have any.
Thank you for the presentation. How do you decide that something is not going to be offered to the collections committee for a lower lien? What's the standards for that?
There are a number of criteria that are listed in code that we go through to determine if there are any mitigating circumstances to that particular property's history or to the story of that owner. They include whether there have been prior code violations, whether the owner has taken any steps to correct the violations at all, the owner's financial condition, if we can determine that, the gravity of the situation, the magnitude of the violations, whether it was repeated or continuous. So there are six or seven more, the cost to the city to investigate and correct the violation. So we go through each of these to the extent that we can on the properties, and if there are circumstances that we think might warrant some reduction in the lien amount, then we will make that recommendation and convene the committee to review it.
Thank you. Yeah. And my understanding is that one of the owners requested and received translation services. Is that correct?
All of them, when we send, based on the name or location, we do send a pamphlet letting them know that there is available if they request this. He will provide translation or interpretation of, if need.
Thank you.
have a question. I see that in two of the properties, you have the same owner, Mr. Norman Tung Yi, and apparently he has other distressed properties in the region. Have we had a face-to-face conversation with him about this situation at any time in the history here?
Mr. Yi has been before the hearings officer a few years ago, and I think received some leniency, but then didn't take advantage of correcting the violations on that property. He's never been responsive to any of our requests for to come in and make payments, to come in and make a plan. He's never been responsive to amnesty offers. There have been years of attempting to reach out to him. The two properties from the first list that sold as of this last week belong to Mr. Yi. So he has sold those two properties from the first list. So we believe that this is finally having an effect on bringing him in and having him address those problems on those properties.
So it's possible in the future we're going to learn that someone has some life issue or some other barrier that prevents them from being responsive. My understanding with Mr. Yi is that he has a well-documented history of playing the game and playing the system. And that includes transferring titles to business partners at the 11th hour, requesting arbitration, not appearing, appealing decisions just for the sake of delay and other things. So while he has not taken advantage of anything that we've offered to him, it does appear that he has been resourceful in avoiding his legal responsibilities. Is that a fair comment?
I think so. Mike has had quite a bit more history with his properties than I have, but I think that's a fair assessment.
Commissioner, it should be noted that the two initial properties from the June foreclosure vote, Mr. Yi, through his legal counsel, did make contact with a foreclosure manager. So through representation, he did indicate knowledge of the proceedings and was working through his representative on the vote and possible options for the property. But again, to this date, no one in my bureau has had any direct contact with Mr. Yi.
Thank you. Other questions for our team? And our treasurer is also here, as she was last week, because she's shepherded those ordinance changes for us.
Mayor, since we have the auditor's office here, can we just acknowledge a little milestone this week? If you go to the auditor's website, there's a new tab. And I sent a little note to the auditor yesterday. As of yesterday, political consultants and their reports show up as a tab on the auditor's report. And there are 8 different reports that have been filed. We're the second city in the country that has required such a disclosure. And it's quite remarkable that this is up and running so quickly. So we thank the auditor's office.
Thank you. I'll pass that on.
Okay, other questions? And then let's see if there's anyone that wants to speak on this item.
Mr. Lightning.
Okay, so why don't we let you all stand down. We'll take testimony and then proceed. Come on up. Morning.
Yes. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. I feel I was one of the most outspoken people during public communication on surplus properties. Also, I'm going to be that on the foreclosures. One of the things that I want to tie together on this is that I want to see if a sale takes place, the highest market value is achieved. I want to make sure that proper advertising is done on this sale. I want to make sure that the top 10 real estate brokerage companies are sent information immediately before these sales take place so they can utilize their people that they have and push these values up to the highest possible market price, which again pays off your liens. And again, I want that remaining money going back to the people that are on title. If you can't contact them, I want the money to be held in a separate account until we get some type of information on their status. If they're having issues, if they can't make contact, I want that to be researched. And even with that extra money, even if it means bringing in an investigator to find where they're at, to locate their relatives, and to say, we have some money waiting in an account for you, and this is how we do our business, to make sure if somebody had difficulty in their home, they couldn't maintain it, that raised a red flag to us, and we want to make sure they're, number one, they're okay and they're safe. We understand there's a lot of squatters in these properties. Where is the landlord? That is our main concern. Is that individual currently safe, and has somebody made communication to him? That is our number one concern here. Now, again, on these issues, as far as I'd like to see money going into an affordable housing fund out of some of these proceeds, and again, I do like the fact that some of these owners are initiating sales. Again, I want to make sure they have that opportunity to do that, that opportunity to get all their equity that they've tried to accomplish over the years and not hand it to the city. I want it taken away from the city because you don't deserve that money. These property owners deserve their equity. These property owners are entitled to their equity, and I will not stand by and watch the city of Portland try to take the equity from people that may not be able to maintain their properties. Senior citizens, people with mental illness. And by the way, if you look at the numbers on here, look at the last names on all these foreclosures. Let's see, Lynn, Yee. Let's go down the list. If somebody doesn't see this might be out of place, I think it's out of place. Are we targeting certain people in this city and running nuisance liens up to run them out of their neighborhoods? I'm going to be watching this very close and looking at the last names on these lists and wonder why we have so many people with names like that on this list at the top of these foreclosure lists with the highest nuisance liens on their properties, and we can't find them in their neighborhoods. So I'll be watching this very close. Do not take their equity. Treat them right. Only get your liens. Get them the highest possible market price. And do not transfer these properties to the city, because that will be considered a conflict of interest. And I can assure you, you'll be stopped on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else? All right, thanks. Now, this ordinance is not an emergency ordinance. Is there any interest on the council on adding one?
I think I'd be more comfortable actually just leaving it as,
okay,
since it is a foreclosure.
All right, so we'll come back for second reading next week. And again, I want to thank the staff that are working on this. I appreciate the fact that we're sending a message to banks and speculators that if you let your house become a nuisance for the neighborhood and you have 71 police calls, that you've crossed a line about property rights versus property responsibilities, and that we are going to come after you. And I appreciate the fact that we are focusing on houses that are vacant, abandoned, and have this kind of unacceptably long record of deterioration and problems for their neighbors. So this focused effort is really starting to solve an egregious and unacceptable problem in a city that has a housing crisis. And I, again, want to thank the staff that's working on it. This will come back for a second reading next week. Okay, let's move on to the